Let's regain our focus and let me just lift our time in prayer. So, Lord, I ask a special blessing on us today as we look at your word. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has inspired the scripture that we read this morning. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit's presence with us, Lord, that would help us. Lord, that his presence would be with us and, Lord, guiding us and directing us, helping us to understand the words we are seeing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I want to welcome you to Osaka International Church, tell you that I am glad you're here. And we are working our way through the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. It is a letter he writes to encourage the church there. Remember that Paul was the one who started that church. And this letter is written about A.D. 62, which is about maybe 30 years after Jesus had been crucified. So he's writing it to the next generation, really, even after those who are with Jesus. So it is a very excellent letter to read. And really, the letter is to the church at Philippi, but it's really for all of us. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever read someone else's mail? Have you ever read someone else's mail? Couple of you have. Were you supposed to read that mail? Guess what? God gives us permission to read the letter that he wrote to Philippi. Yeah. So the letter is written to the church at Philippi, but God says, it's okay. You can read the letter as well. Yeah. Isn't it exciting? So we get to see what Paul wrote to the church there. And it is the blueprint for joy. We know that happiness is short-lived. It is very fast. Happiness is okay. I like being happy. But joy, that can be my life forever. The continuum of my life is joy. Why? Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Paul said, he said, hey, it's okay. The Apostle Paul said, I can live or I can die. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm going to be full of joy. And that's how my life will be. We've already looked at chapter 2, and we're just finishing up in chapter 2. He began the letter, really, with instruction for Christian living. And we've already looked at the passages that talked about unity. Remember, we talked about unity. And we have been told that we are to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And when Jesus was on earth, his attitude was humility. And Jesus, of course, is our best example of that, displaying that attitude. Today, our support text is found in Philippians 2, verses 11 to 18. It's a long text, so hang on to something, and I'm going to read it very slowly for you, but hang on to it. We'll finish where we finished last week about every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with the fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Excuse me, I haven't quite finished reading that. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Wow. Let the Lord add blessing to the reading of Scripture in you. So, Paul's pastoral concern and love come through again in this portion of Scripture that he writes. He really is displaying a pastor's heart. And there are three things that Paul wanted the church at Philippi to do in order to improve themselves as Christians. And because we are allowed to read the letter ourselves, guess what? These three things can also be the same things that we can do to improve ourselves as Christians. Number one, here we go. Here's the first thing Paul wanted us to do. Paul wanted the church to have a spiritual workout. A spiritual workout. How many people exercise every day? Every single day. Nobody. Not one person in our whole congregation. How many people exercise almost every day? How many people exercise one time a year? Good. All right, one time, I'm going to let that go. Okay, at least one time a year. No. Some people exercise every day. See, I have no car, so I have to ride my bicycle a lot. So, yeah, I exercise every single day. Yes, very good. It helps me, but my wife is a real exercise person. She likes to exercise a lot. But let's see what he says about the spiritual workout. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, he says, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Wow. Wow. So the first thing God wants us to do, and the Apostle Paul instructs the church there, have a spiritual workout. You see, when Paul says, so then, depending on which version you read, some versions say, therefore, he wants the church to recognize their position as Christians under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he wants the church to be unified, and he wants the church to be worshiping God. Remember, we already learned, every knee shall bow. We've already learned that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, not just the Christians, but he will be seen as Lord of all. At this point, Paul emphasizes the obedience that is necessary to be participants in the ministry of Jesus. God has called us to be part of his ministry. Jesus has told us he's in eternity with God now. But he said, you are the light of the world. You are the ones who are on the earth. It is your responsibility to represent me. We all like that word, the word that says obey. We all like it. It's a nice word. I think most of us like it when somebody is going to obey us. Yes, you must do this. But how about when we must obey someone? Yes, we must obey God. We must obey God's word. It is not as easy when we have to be the one to obey. We like it better when someone obeys us, don't we? But in this case, God wants us to be obedient to him and to his word. So what can we as a church here at OIC, what can we extract from Paul's exhortation to the church at Philippi to obediently work out our salvation? I want you, if you're just taking one note, take this one note, and this will be the only note you need today. Paul is not saying that Christians are justified by their works. We are not justified by our works. All that needs to be done, Christ has done on the cross. You don't have to add to that. When Jesus was on the cross, one of his last words to us was, it is finished. It is finished. Everything that needed to be done for our salvation was done on the cross. We don't have to add to it. Doesn't the book of Ephesians say, we are saved by grace, and it's through our faith that we are saved, not our works, lest any man would boast. You see, if we were saved by our works, you know what would happen? We would be in competition. I would help 29 little old ladies across the street. And you would say, oh, Pastor Brian, I can help 30 little old ladies across the street. And then I would say, no, I'll do 31, 32. We would be in competition. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of God. We receive Jesus by faith. That's all we need, not our works. So he's not talking about being saved by the works. He really means that Christianity must be a proactive life, not an inactive life. Yes. Too many Christians have taken this posture, that salvation is a wonderful thing. We love to be saved, But then, too many Christians, they sit back and let the world go by. They must be waiting for God to call them home because they don't intend on doing much with their Christian lives. Wow. They tend to become a Christian and then they want to reap all of the apparent benefits of the world. Yeah. Oh, those people, they show up at church. They come on Christmas and Easter, and when we have a special event, they like to come. But they're not really involved with the local ministry of the church. They're not really involved. They come, they watch. Yeah. They check in every so often at church to see what's going on. I don't know how many people were born before I was. I was born in 19... sorry. Many people weren't born before. Well, I grew up in the 1960s. I was a teenager in the 1960s. About 1965, when I was years old, this was a very popular song on the radio. And it was one of those songs that was written by somebody who had been doing a lot of drugs. And he sings this song, and it's about when he tries to get his mind back together from doing too many drugs. And the song goes like this. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Anybody ever heard that song? One? Okay. I know Jenny's about the same age as I am, so that's what. Thank you, Jenny. Yeah, 20. Yeah. I just dropped in. He's playing on his guitar, and he's just been through a lot of drugs, and he's singing. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. In other words, he's been stoned on drugs for days and days and days, and then he wants to stop taking drugs for a couple of days to see what it's really like. Whoa, I just dropped in to see if I'm okay. A lot of Christians do this. They become Christians. They don't go to church for many, 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 many months. And then they come back. They just dropped in to see what condition their condition was in. Oh yeah, this Christian stuff. Yeah, it's still there. Okay, I can get it whenever I want to. We must be proactive, not inactive. I've said this before, I will say it 1,000 times. We must be church. We cannot just be at church on occasion. We have to be church. I want to praise every one of you who do such a wonderful job. Whether you're ushering, whether you're teaching Sunday school, whatever you're doing, whether you're setting up in the morning or tearing down afterwards, so many of you are so active. And I just want to really thank you for doing that. The rest of us, the rest of you, please join us. We'd be very happy to have all the help you can provide. But those who are in the world but are Christians, I just want to give you this warning or this advice. Please don't dance with the world. Don't dance with the world. And then come to church just to check on your condition. Please don't. So many people have this attitude. I found this word kind of interesting. I discovered it about a year or so ago. So many people have this attitude. It is YOLO. YOLO. How many know this word YOLO? Three or four of you. What does YOLO mean? Here's what it means. You only live once. A lot of Christians live this way. You only live once. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to take everything the world gives me. Oh, yeah, I want that. I want that. I want three of those. I want five of those. Give me my new Maserati now. You can't do this. God will supply all of our needs. You see, if you truly are desiring to work out your salvation, just pay attention to verse 13. And it says this, for it is God who is at work in you. I'll ask you another question. Do you ever sense God at work in you? Do you ever sense God at work in you? Wow. When you do, it is the most wonderful thing. Do you ever have a longing after God? You just want to serve Him. I hope you do. I hope everyone here does. Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean, to work it out with fear and trembling? What does it mean? It means yielding and surrendering in obedience. You see, when we recognize that it is God that is working in us and not only ourselves, we should have fear and trembling. The Holy One, God, is working through me. Huh? We work out our salvation in obedience to God. Here's seven things I do in my life. Seven things I do in my life that helps me work out my salvation. I'll give them to you very quickly, so if you're taking notes, you'll have to write maybe in shorthand. But here I go. Here are seven things I do. First thing I do, I have a regular prayer life. Every morning. First, I pray with my lovely and talented wife, and then I have a quiet time by myself. Secondly, I read God's Word every single day. Here it is. I read this Bible every single day. I'm using the SOAP system, S-O-A-P. I use this. I trust everyone is trying it. It's a great place to start every day. It's kind of like gasoline for my tank in my car, but I don't have a car. But it's gasoline for my life. Another thing I do to work out my church attendance. Yes. Most of you come on Sunday. Thank you. I come almost every day. Except there's no service here. I'm working upstairs. But I come almost every day. Another thing I do, try to promote unity in the body. How about witnessing on behalf of the Lord? Yes, witnessing. How many people are actively witnessing for God? We went out doing tracks again this week. Last Monday, we went to Tennoji Station. Eight of us went. Wow, we were very excited. You know what happened? The police came and got me again. Remember I told you a couple of weeks ago, they came and made me move, and I went and they said, sayonara, I don't know where I'm going. They came and got me again. I was trying to talk to them in my broken Japanese. I said, kore, okay, wa, iai, okay, sorry. Last time they drew the line, and I told them I stand on the line. This time they came again. Doko. Where? I don't know the other word. Doko. Where do you want me to go? Jail? No, I hope not. So they moved me to another place. But guess what? It was a better place. The tracks went very fast. I want to thank those who went. We had a good time. Yes, Sampo, he went. Barb, she went. My wife went. Yes, it was very nice. James, he went. James, he did a very nice job. James, was it fun? Tennoji? Yes, James did a good job. And we did it many hundreds of tracks. We witnessed for the Lord. People seen us as Christians. Yes. Anybody who would like to go, please see my lovely and talented, very charming wife. She's in charge of evangelism for this church. If you'd like to come, please come. Okay, I told you there were seven of them. Here's another thing I do. I try to utilize my spiritual gifts for God. And I try to display the fruits of the Spirit. That's how I work out my salvation for God. So the first thing we do that God wants us to do to improve our lives, He wants us to have a spiritual workout. A spiritual workout. It would also help if you had a heavy Bible. You could work out with the heavy Bible, like this. But it's good to open the Bible. Yeah, try these. Number two, Paul says we should have spiritual illumination. Let it shine. In other words, God wants us to be the light of the world. He wants us to be the light of the world. If you need a verse on that, Matthew 5:14. I'm not going to bring it up. Matthew 5:14, if you're writing down verses. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Let's look at Philippians 2:14-16. Here's what he says. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh, he's saying it, please. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights of the world. You see, when we are illuminating, I think there's another verse here, holding fast the word of life so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Wow. You see, when we are illuminated for God, there is no room left for grumbling and disputing. Every time we grumble and complain while doing God's work, it's like we are putting a cover on the light. Yes. Maybe Paul was referring to the Israelites. Remember? They grumbled and complained for about 40 years in the wilderness. Remember? Oh, there's nothing to eat. So God sent them quail. Wow, look at all this quail. What did they say? We don't like quail. Then he sent manna, and they got greedy. God said, you can only have enough manna for one day. What did they do? Some of them tried to take it for 2 days, but it went rotten in their tents. Good for them. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. In our marriage, we have two unwritten rules. Unwritten. Actually, there are three rules, but my wife told me this morning, please don't share the third rule. Okay. First rule. Here's my wife's first rule, unwritten. She says, Brian, if I'm going to cook supper, you must wear a shirt to the table. You cannot come to dinner without wearing a shirt. Do you think it is a good rule? Todd says, yeah, that's a good rule. Maybe his wife has the same rule for him. You cannot come to dinner without a shirt. One time I did this maybe 40 years ago. I had been working hard in the yard, and I came to dinner without a shirt on, and Nancy said, Brian, if I'm making dinner, you must wear a shirt to dinner. So now, I wear a shirt. She says, you do not have to wear a tie to dinner, but just a shirt would be okay. The second unwritten rule in our marriage, never, ever, ever do anything for your spouse if you're going to complain about doing it. Wow. Nice rule, isn't it? So if I'm going to cook supper, and I'm saying, oh, I don't like making supper. I hate this. No, just because my wife is hungry all the time. She seems to get hungry at supper all that about this time. I must always cook. So you cannot complain. I love my wife, so I enjoy cooking the meals. Yes. All right. Yes. If anybody is interested in the third rule, ask my wife, because I'm not allowed to tell you. It's a good rule, though. I'll tell you, it's a very good rule. But examine yourselves, your own life today. Ask yourself this question. How many of you complain or grumble unnecessarily at times? I look at you. You're such beautiful people. I wonder, do you ever complain? I said this to a lady the other day at lunch. I said, you seem to never complain. And she said, you have not met my husband. He has heard me complain. Probably we all complain more than we should. But our response to the one who is a partaker of God's grace is that there should really be no instance of grumbling or complaining. Think about this. Jesus Christ gave his life for me. I deserve to die in my sins, but Jesus came and died for me. Why am I complaining? Why am I grumbling about doing God's work? I shouldn't be, so I don't want to. The whole idea of disputing and questioning, I think it probably stems from this. It stems from a lack of trust in what God does for us. I think there is an unhealthy amount of distrust and complaining within the universal church of Jesus Christ because we fail to place our confidence in Jesus. We tend at times to be unsatisfied with what God provides. That's very sad, isn't it? Yeah. How many like ice cream? How many like ice cream? Five of you? Oh, wow. This is my best response yet. Let's imagine a very hot day, like today, very hot day. And Jesus comes. And he brings you chocolate ice cream cone. Yatta! And he gives you the cone. And you say, oh, I wanted vanilla. No! My goodness. That's what it must seem like sometimes. Christ has died for me, and I complain about coming to church. Don't dance with the world. The first thing I do on Sunday morning, I got up at 5 o'clock this morning. Actually, I got up at 4:55. I was anxious to come to church. The first thing I did, I walked out on the balcony and checked and stuck my arm out. And I said, no, it is not raining. I said, Nancy, no rain. Yatta! We don't have to get wet going to church. I was excited. Remember, Satan is the one who likes to hear us complain about God's work. Satan laughs at us. He says, look at them. The Christians, they're complaining about God's work. They are not lights of the world. They have hidden their light with their complaints. And Satan loves to hear that about us. Brothers and sisters, we are on the same team. It's nice. The same Holy Spirit who lives in me lives in you. We're on the same team. So let's not grumble and complain about things. We can have a much greater impact for the gospel when we are doing it with a cheerful attitude. As the Apostle Paul says, don't do it with grumbling and disputing. We'll stand as bright lights when we are not complaining, but when we are praising God. How about Philippians 2:15? So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights of the world. Let's be the brightest, shining light that we can be. It's a crooked and perverse world out there. Let's be honest. The scripture says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of darkness. He's the one that will try to distract us from serving God. But when we are living like we are supposed to live, we're going to provide spiritual illumination to the twisted and perverse world that we live in. Can I say this from my heart to you? From my heart to your heart. Don't feel guilty if you are not perfect. Don't feel guilty because we're still living in these human bodies. And sometimes we make mistakes. And sometimes maybe a small bit of complaining comes from our mouth. We can't be perfect. But when it comes, let the Holy Spirit tell you, Brian, please stop complaining. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. So don't blame yourselves and don't feel guilty if you cannot be perfect all the time. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to come up short. Romans 3:23 says we all sin and fall short of God's glory. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try our best. If you're working out your salvation, try to be a light and try to be as effective as you can be. How many here live in or near Osaka? How many here live in or near Osaka? Almost all of you. Some of you came in today from Hawaii or some other places. Now, almost every one of you lives here in Osaka. Guess what I learned about Osaka? Here's what I've learned about Osaka, Japan. This city does not love Jesus. Jesus loves this city, but this city does not love Jesus. Only about 1% of the people that live here are Christian. God loves Osaka. He sent us to be the light, to share the good news of His love. Yes. But most of this city does not love Christ. No, they don't. Let's be God's representative here, if we can be. Okay, the first thing, God says, I want you to have a spiritual workout. The second thing he says, I want you to have spiritual illumination. And the third thing, Paul says, I want you to be a spiritual sacrifice. A spiritual sacrifice. The Apostle Paul, he increases his intensity with this verse. And our scripture verse for this is Philippians 2, 17 and 18. But even if I, the Apostle Paul, am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. I share my joy with you all. You too. I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Wow. Paul's intensity is improved. It's increased. He uses the imagery of the sacrifice from the book of Numbers, if you will, where strong drink, this is water, was poured out on top of the offering. You understand how it works. People would bring an offering to the temple or to the priest, and they'd say, here is a lamb without blemish. I want to offer this lamb as a sacrifice for my sins and also maybe for the sins of my family. Well, the Apostle Paul said, yes, that was a good sacrifice to bring, but Jesus has been the ultimate sacrifice. We don't do that anymore. But Paul says, if we still did, guess what Paul would do? He would let them bring the lamb, and then Paul, he would say, the lamb is sufficient, but I will pour myself out on top of the lamb. This is how much I care. I will be a drink offering. I will pour myself out. That's how much he cared. Wow. What a fine example we have in Paul. Verse 18 really says that we should follow the example of Paul as he lived for Jesus. Here's a question I had to ask myself this week. I'll ask it of you as well. How much of a spiritual sacrifice are each of us making? How much of a spiritual sacrifice are each of us making? Wow. You see, when Paul said he would pour himself out on top of the offering that he was talking about at the church of Philippi was their service to God. That was their offering. And the way they lived their life by faith. Paul said, on top of that, there's an English idiom we use sometimes. It was like icing on the cake. Icing on the cake. In Paul's case, it was pouring himself out on top of the offering. Well, let me conclude. Here's our conclusion. First of all, let me recap. Paul says we should have a spiritual workout if we're going to be obedient to God. That's a good way to do it. Number two, we should be a spiritual light for God. And number three, we should be a spiritual sacrifice for God. Here's my conclusion this morning. Listen carefully. Where are each of you currently at with your spiritual life? Where are you this morning in appreciation for what Jesus has done on your behalf? Are you glad? Are you rejoicing? Or do you find yourself sometimes grumbling or complaining? Let's imagine that God is an accountant. Yes, I'm not an accountant, but imagine God is an accountant and he has a profit and loss statement for you. Okay? On the profit side or the good side, he puts down every time that you praised him. Every time you said something that was joyful in your hearts, wow, he writes it all down. That's one. On the other column, he writes a list of every time you grumbled or complained. Oh my. Is the times that you said joyful things, is it a very long list or is it a very short list? How about on this column, every time you complained, was it a very short list or was it a very, very, very long list? God wants the grumbling and complaining list to be very short. He wants the joy list to be very long. God is the accountant for our lives. How about this? We forget sometimes that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And when we live our lives as an example of joy for what everything he has done for us, and when we live that life in a proactive manner, it will make us stronger as Christians, and it will make our church, Osaka International Church, a more spiritually prosperous church. So let's make our columns very short on the grumbling side and very long, because the Apostle Paul said, do everything without grumbling and without complaints. You know, I bless you all because I don't hear a lot of grumbling and complaining here. Remember, this was a letter that we were allowed to read that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. So he wasn't necessarily talking to OIC. So if you hear someone grumbling and complaining, say, hold it. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, not to grumble and complain. So we have instructions, don't we? Let's pray. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you have given us instructions that we are to be joyful Christians, that we are to be full of joy, not full of complaints. So I thank you and praise you today, Lord, for OIC, for a church that I can love, for a church where we can be loved, for a church where we can love each other. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.